To everyone in church, thank you for making our church great. Couldn't do it without you guys. And just really love that we are developing people. I know Reese and Danny are developing a lot of younger people. And on top of that, we have been one of my roles now is really to train and develop others. And I'm seeing a lot of that starting to flow through into people's lives. And especially guys like, you know, Reese and Danny that are at both locations. In fact, they're at both locations, just so you know. Because you know how sometimes you see pastors and then you don't? They're not wagging it. Generally, what happens now is we are actually on a preaching roster. And so what happens is that myself, Emma, and Pastor Charlie, who's actually at Wellard preaching this morning, we are either at Wellard or we're here, unless we're on annual leave. And so that's been a good thing. But I just want to let you know about a few staff developments. So Josh and Bria are a great young couple, right? Yeah, come on. They're great. They're awesome. And Bree has very creative gifts and she's doing a great job with JYB. There's a whole lot of things that Bree's already doing. There they are. Well, there's Bree. But Josh is on the sound desk doing a great job because David and Claire are actually videoing today for our official opening. Lots of things happening in church life. But, you know, Bree is actually coming on board to be our events person for our church and for Wellard. And so she starts that, she started actually. And so I thought I'd better announce. So if you see Bree bossing people around, that's because she oversees all our events. And so we have our official opening at Wellard at 5 o'clock on the 31st of March. We then have Easter services. We then have Mother's Day with the Clancys. And so Bree is now taken on the role of overseeing those events and prettying up the place. Who likes our events? You know, and the atmosphere that's created. So that's Bree. We have some of you probably, if you've rung the office, we have a new accounts manager as well. Her name is Lisa Elhudge, and she started a couple of weeks ago. So if you ring the church office and go, I don't know who this person is, it's okay. She's a great staff member, and she's doing a fantastic job with our accounts. And Barry and Michelle Barnard are, for the most part, at Wellard now as the campus pastors. And so I just thought I'd I'd share on that just so you're up to date. And so I was just saying our story, our future is a real. I find this to be a really important month because who knows that God desires that we build his church. Does anyone agree with me? And so God wants us to be involved in things that are going to expand the kingdom of God. And if it were not for this program that we do every March, we wouldn't be in this facility. We wouldn't be in this prime location. Does anyone like our location? We are 500 meters from the beach. We can walk to the Cappuccino Strip. We have a great piece of real estate here, and the ministry and giving program helps us forge our future and continue to expand and build his church. And it's really what our story, our future is about. So I'd like to invite our long-standing board member, Greg Moore, to come and share this morning on some of the developments of our story, our future over the last 12 months and what we're looking forward to. Please come, Greg. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Nigel. Great to see you all this morning. Great to be in church. We had a Connect Group topic a while back about what powers your week, what sort of builds you up and kind of gets you going for the week. And for me, hands down, church on a Sunday morning is just the best time, isn't it? Yes, as Nigel mentioned, we have a number of giving programs in our church, obviously tithes and offerings. And oh, it's amazing. Angel by name, angel by nature. Incredible. Just such an encouragement as to giving into our programs. But the two that fall outside that are, one's called Our Story, Our Future, which we'll talk about today. The other is our Leap into Spring program, which is our overseas missions. So we support work in Liberia and China and Philippines, India, a whole bunch of places. And that's later in the year we'll be talking about that program. But who knows, we need a strong local church, a strong local base to be able to do those things that we do in all sorts of countries around the world. So our story, our future is really about our story, which is kind of how we came to get here. And you might recall, if you read anything in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, had a journey, a story to tell as to how they were led from Egypt, as mentioned this morning, into the Promised Land. And so our story is a little bit about how we got here, but then our future is where we're going from this point forward. And so our story, our future, is a program where the funds generated from that go into our facilities. And our facilities really now are twofold. We used to just talk about what we have here in Fremantle, but as most would know, we have a Wellard campus now. And they've moved in, they were in rented accommodation, which is actually on the screen there. We're in a lovely building previously in Wellard, but that was rented accommodation. We kept an eye out for quite some time for a building in the area, in the Wellard-Kwinana area, and we did eventually find one, and that's it there. It's not the prettiest building in the world. It's a sort of a factoryette, but it was. We got a fantastic buy on that. We offered a very low price, and the owners of the property were gracious enough to accept our offer. So we did extremely well there, and we've converted it and spent some time at the latter part of last year refitting that building and turning it into the C3. That's what it kind of looked like when we purchased it, and I think there's probably a slide coming up. This is more like what it looks like today. And the opening of that building was on the 31st, coming up in a few weeks. So I encourage you all, 5 p.m, get down and cheer those guys on. But in cheering them on, they wouldn't have got there without our help. And you might... who's had help from their family at any time? And who's helped their family? There's probably hands up all over the auditorium. Wellard is part of our family. And it might, I guess, as part of our story, I'm reminded that when we bought this building and refitted it, we got some help as well. C3 Hepburn Heights, probably the biggest of the C3 churches in our movement, actually helped us purchase this building. So they were kind of part of our family and assisted it. And now we've kind of followed that tradition, if you like, and helped Wellard get to where they've got. They're part of our their campus of our church. And so that's been a little bit of the story to get us to now. But this coming year, the Our Story, Our Future for 2019 is really fairly firmly focused on what we do here at Fremantle. So nice to put some resources, time and effort into building what we have here in Fremantle. So you might recall we'll spin a video in a sec, but we've got some ideas to refurbish the right-hand side, or left-hand side as you come in, the right-hand side looking from here of our building. And that's really based on the fact that the resources we have built form here isn't really suiting what we do as a church. We want to make this space more accessible, want to open it up. We also want to use the facilities that we've got there better for our port care lunches and our functions. And Bree will be tying in with some of this. If we can create the spaces that work better, we're able to do more with them, particularly involving food and dining and that sort of thing, and also for youth and connect groups and all of that. So we've put some work into that, and we have shown a little bit of this, but we kind of put a bit of a hold on it given what we've done at Wellard, but we're wanting to come back to that. So just briefly too, we've got some charts here that show our building expenses on this side and our building income, and this really relates to 2018. And there was a shortfall in that, but we were fortunate that we had some funds from the previous Our Story, Our Future year. So we've pretty much balanced the books on that. But just to say over here that we've had some expenses, one perhaps just to point out there is we've got a number of electrical meters in this building. One of those meters was being fully paid for by the childcare. More than half the power used on that meter was being used on our side of the building.
Whoops.
So when we found that out, we've reconciled that with the childcare and paid them back that money. So they're very grateful for that, of course. So some of our story, our future, actually went into balancing a budget across the childcare, which we own the building but is leased out. You can see on the right there that the income for our building is really driven by the childcare rent partly, and then by our faith promises, which last year received $87,000 into our story, our future. Great result. That's awesome, and that's part of the generosity of the people in our church. So so the childcare rent obviously stays roughly the same, CPI adjusted, but the faith promise, the Our Story, Our Future component of that graph is really what we're talking about being able to do, and depends on what we raise during this year will depend upon how far we get into our renovation, which we'll get to in a sec, but maybe just the next slide there. Josh. Building values. We've started with this building. We've added the Wellard building, our loans and our net assets. We could actually should recalculate that figure. It's actually below 50% now, so we own more than 50% of all the assets we have. So from a balance sheet point of view, we're looking in great shape as a church. But that doesn't mean we can carry on with our renovations because we need cash flow to be able to do those things. So the bank's very happy, but we're looking to improve our building in this year. And the last one was just to do with the mortgages and so on. Obviously, we've saved rent at Wellard, but we now have added that to the loan. So there is a net small difference there, but we now have our own facility for youth and Connect and community and children's church and all of those things, which I say is the new Wellard campus. So that kind of gets us to where we've been in the last few years and 12 months. And so then kicking off the Our Story, Our Future program or campaign for this year. I'm not sure if you've mind, we had a few technical problems, but I think we're there, are we? Just spin the videos. So this is the entry foyer as it is. So stage one of our works, which the hole was knocked some time ago, is this area on the left where we're fitting. And in fact, the guys were here Friday, but Port Kia lunch, they had to move out and they're back on Tuesday to fit these doors, to knock this part through and to turn this room into the space that we wanted it to be. So that's step one in the process, opening up into the foyer. The second video shows perhaps the broader view, which is a three-stage process, to open up the building into the north. So it's to take all of those walls out, to open to the upper floor, to connect to the outside. So this is the bit that we're doing right now on the right here. And then that space will open to the outside, but also connect the upper floor area, which really isn't accessible at the moment in any practical way. So there's three stages to this. Depends on what we're able to do in terms of the funding of Our Story, Our Future, as to how far we get through the program. But that's the that's that bit. And there's also some plans to renovate the kitchen, because we're finding that the Port Kia lunch alone is stretching the capacity. The kitchen was really never designed to operate to that extent. So we'll be looking to do that as well. So the Our Story, Our Future program giving really relies on us. And as I say, Wellard puts into that program as well, and those resources will be firmly focused this year back to Fremantle. So on your chair would be a card. It should look something like that. And this card it's an annual program, and so in signing up for this, you can certainly give one-off gifts, and that's very welcome, and we certainly accept that, and that's great. But the program really relies on people being consistent givers, and so any amount can be given on a consistent basis, either through a direct debit or through credit card. So I'd really encourage you to consider this as part of your giving program in this church. We really can't do very much without people's participation in this program. So we've got lots of plans to do. We think it's important. We have a great reputation in the community, and we have a great location to be able to build the kingdom of God here in Fremantle. And so this, Our Story, Our Future, is moving that forward. We've got lots of great stories in the past. This is about what we do this year and the year after. And so I'd really encourage you to prayerfully consider signing up for that program. There's probably a number of people that are already in the program. And if you could fill out a card as well, just to renew your commitment for this coming year. If you're not, then this is the card to action. So you put your name, your phone number, your email, and then either a direct debit or a credit card, or if it's a one-off payment, then that's fine as well. So we've got an exciting year ahead of us, a lot of work to do. As I say, they started Tuesday. You'll see the doors will be going. So, but if we're standing here next week, you'll see some changes out there. And then we're going to roll on with the next stages of program, depending upon what sort of level of support we're able to have, including the guys from Wellard who are keen to support what we do here as well, a bit of their family giving back. So that's great. That's what we're up for this year, for Our Story, Our Future. Nigel will talk more about that, and there'll be some more next week on that as well.
Thank you. Well presented, Greg. Thank you so much. Who knows that when you're in church life a while, it's good to know what happens, and it is quite important. So thank you again, Greg, for that amazing update, and we'll do one more before we do our offering. So can we say this date with me? 24th of March. That is our miracle offering for our expansion of the building, which Greg Moore has just talked about. And so we're going to do that together. The kids are getting involved. They're going to come to the front as well and bring their offering. So it's going to be a whole church event. And I find that rather exciting. That way God just, as we're diligent with managing this, how God expands us. And so come with me. Actually, why don't you just stand to your feet for a sec, have a little bit of a stretch because you've been sitting for, well, at least 10 minutes. Just give yourselves a little bit of a stretch, whatever you'd like to do. And when you're ready, you can take your seats again. Let me share with you a scripture. I want to talk this morning. The title of my message is Follow Jesus and Come Home. Follow Jesus and what? Come home. And so Luke 4, really, I have a verse here that I have just been meditating on. As you know, Luke 4 is definitely our key sort of scriptures this year, Luke 4, 18, 19 particularly. But in Luke 4, verse 1, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. Look at this part. He was led by the to go out into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness. Jesus has just been baptized. Next weekend, we have our baptisms down at the beach. And one of the most important functions of the church is to ensure that people do not simply believe God in their head, but believe God in their heart and follow through with action. And so we can agree with the principles of the Bible, and yet it doesn't change us one bit. Who knows that Jesus wants to set us free? And this whole year is about freedom. And, you know, I'd like to invite people that I know into our church facilities, and they go, wow, what a great job you've done. I remember the old place. I remember Coventry's back way back when. You've really transformed this building. And so I think to be able to do this consistently, we have to actually have a spirit of Jesus and a kingdom mentality. And so we have an example of Jesus here, the Son of God, and he's, you can read back a few chapters, he's being baptized by John. And one thing that strikes me about this is that the Holy Spirit moves in our obedience in our life. Who knows that when we obey the Lord of God, Word of God, that there is a great amount of the Holy Spirit that is not there if we just do our own thing. And so it's important that we follow, right? And so I want to talk about this a little bit this morning. See, this is really interesting. John didn't want to baptize Jesus. Why are you coming to me, he says in Matthew. And Jesus responds, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. So here's Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy Man, the Prophet, the Messiah, and he's saying we must do everything that is right. And so I find this quite remarkable that Jesus knows his place in life, but he also knows that he needs to do these the things that God has called him to do, and so he's following. Who knows that when you follow, there's going to be a great anointing come on your life? Who knows that when you follow the vision, that there is going to be a great joy that comes into your heart, as we've heard from Angel this morning? Who knows that when there is something going wrong and you talk to someone else of the community of God, that there is a breakthrough coming in your life because you've made yourself accountable? And so I think this is a really important thing to follow. So let me just talk about this a little bit more this morning. See, the beauty of the church is because we follow. Oh, I see we got some work to do this morning. You see, if Jesus himself can lay down his life, if he can lay down his one-upmanship, even though he is the divine Son of God, the creator, the authority of all things, then we, his people, will have the greatest freedom because we're living outside of ourselves and running with the word of God in our lives. I have read a book a number of times by Simon McIntyre, who is now the C3 European director of, and the book is called, well, he calls it, the term he calls is not in the dictionary, but it's called followership. And he now pastors this C3 church in London with his wife Valerie, and he's been following Pastor Phil Pringle, the president of C3, since the very early 80s. And he wrote this statement in his book. In Australia, anyone live in Australia here today? This is not about culture. This is about living in Australia. Who knows that you come under the influence of the place that you live? And so, in Australia, we pride ourselves on an egalitarian ideal. I'll explain that. Our fundamental belief in equal rights and opportunities for all. Sounds good, right? This in itself is praiseworthy. But when you add this to the middle-class ethos that has traditionally dominated Australian society, you have a potent and occasionally toxic mix. The underlying assumption is that we're all the same. Nobody is better than anybody else, and given the right circumstances, we're all capable of achieving pretty much the same results. Sadly, life rarely ever works like this. But we Australians, anybody living in Western society for any period of time, take the egalitarian ideal even further by asking why anybody should be allowed to be better than me. Many of us find it very difficult to compliment people that have done better than we have. Instead, we try to cut them down to size, especially if they're conspicuously successful. We even have a name for this behaviour, the tall poppy syndrome. Unfortunately, scripture and experience do not support the notion that we are all the same and all equally gifted. We are not the same. We are all different. Can we celebrate being different this morning, church? Can we celebrate who we are as being unique individuals and not see another person and think, well, I'm not like them. It doesn't matter. It matters that we all have the same responsibility in Christ to do the things that he's called us to do. And so Luke 12:48, for everyone to whom much is given. Oh, see, Jesus knew his stuff. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed to him, they will ask the more. And so people who have been gifted with more face a larger responsibility than those who are somewhere in the middle. And so we are not equal, but we are equally responsible. And the parable of the talents, these three employees, who knows that we're all equally responsible for the vision of this house? Who knows it's empty words if I just stand up here and there's no one following me? Who knows that the beauty of a connect group is that someone's leading you effectively into a greater relationship with the Lord? Come on, who knows that because we've got great leaders over our youth and you know, I know there's a lot of other helpers that mostly are at Wellard, and, you know, the beauty of that youth is because people are looking for direction from those leaders. And so we are not equal, but we are equally responsible. And the parable of the talents, three employees were asked to perform at the level of their abilities, no more, no less. So you may not have the same income as the person next to you. It's irrelevant. You may not think that even you would be able to give into this program, Our Story, Our Future. But what is God saying? Will you at least do what Jesus did and ask him before you decide what is going to happen in your life in the future? God may want to expand you and actually give you a faith that you don't have right now. And so God is a lot less concerned about talent than he is with the old-fashioned concept of faithfulness. And I love that we have a faithful, incredible family here that love to be a blessing for the house of God. So I want to ask this question, are we faithful with what we are given? Because this was the problem with the three guys and the one that just decided to bury it in a hole. God doesn't want you to bury anything. He wants you to use whatever it is that you have, as little or as much. And so, can I say this, like Jesus was saying, it is right to follow. Jesus said it earlier on, I've got to do what is right. Who was he listening to? He was listening to his Father. It is right to? If Jesus is our future, is anyone glad that Jesus is our future? At the end of the day, Jesus is what? The head of the church. That's encouraging. And he was able to follow the Father and be baptized by John. How much more should we, his church, live in such a way as to have his anointing flowing freely over our lives through following? And one of the most harmonious things about church is when it's in sync, following the vision. In this environment, the Holy Spirit is able to flow. Who knows that following's not always easy? Right? It's not easy. Following's not always easy. And Jesus is led by the Spirit, my first verse here. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. He's led by the Spirit to what? Be tempted by the devil for 40 days with no food. The Bible says that he was hungry. I think that's an understatement. Has anyone fasted? Well, don't put your hands up, but 40 days without food? My goodness. I know a pastor that did that, and after 40 days he ate a huge big steak and wished he hadn't. But, you know, that's another story. You see, when Andrew and I first moved to Fremantle from Marangaroo, for 23 years ago, it was because John Fincaldi said, I think you should go to Fremantle. We moved 6 months after that conversation. Andrea has some stories to tell, and she's quite honest about it wasn't always easy. It was a difficult time of our life. We had young Jared, who was a lot younger then. He was a little pipsqueak. Used to carry him under my arm when we first moved here. But when you decide emphatically, is anyone going to be emphatic for Jesus today? When you decide emphatically that you're going to pursue the will of God for your life, as directed by those that are senior in the house of God, who knows that that's following? That generally things turn out as there's something about doing what is right that God brings blessing on our lives. And the bigger the battles that we have, I remember back in the old days when we were at the football club, Pastor Charlie and Helen remember those days. They're down at Wellard this morning, you know, and there was 17 different rooms that we could be in from week to week. We didn't know how to contact everyone and say, we're actually in this particular room this morning. Often there was beer bottles and all sorts of things left all over the place. And we'd walk in and it was smelt like a pub, a brewery actually. And we'd have to clean up all the mess before we even started church. Now we have our own facility. Yeah. Greater the sacrifice, the greater the blessing. And we are in a new phase of our church right now. And we have stretched ourselves two locations. The work has doubled. And this has been possible because of good and faithful people prepared to serve and simply put their hand up and say, I can do that. God celebrates everybody that serves in the house of God. I'll praise every single person that gives up some time in their busy life, whether they're professional or whatever your circumstances, FIFO, but you help out wherever you can. We have a lady in our music team called Prudence, who I have been observing, who is often at either location. And there are many in the music team, and some of the musos from Wellard come and help us here at Fremantle at times. And every time someone makes a decision for Jesus, who enjoys it when someone says, I want to receive Jesus? Every time someone makes a decision for Jesus, every time new people enter our church, every time we have someone getting baptized, every time visitors come in, and we are seeing the fruit of our followership. We are seeing God doing what He's called every one of us to do in being the church. And so this is the heart of our story, our future. That as we determine not only verbally but in action to build His house and expand His kingdom, can we be doers this morning and be serious about who we are and the kingdom of God? You know, I'm so grateful for where God has led us over this last 23, 24 years. I'm so grateful to be leading a group at two locations and seeing so many people develop and using their giftings to serve the kingdom of God. I'm so grateful for the joy that it brings into my heart as I see other people rising into their giftings. I'm so grateful for that when things are rough, I know that God's going to sort it out, and as long as I stay faithful, things are going to turn out okay. And so this sort of brings me to my second point this morning, my last point, and that is welcome home. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome home. You see, what Jesus has done for us is remarkable. It's remarkable. He has created a community that you and I can call home. Wow! Luke 6:13. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself. And from them, He chose 12, whom He also named apostles. Now, Jesus has been in prolonged communion with His Father. And the Spirit of He says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's called me to heal the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind, release the captives from oppression, and the year of the acceptable year of the Lord. He said that He's declared His mission. And here, two chapters later, Jesus is calling His disciples to Himself. Is anyone glad that Jesus has called you to Him this morning? He's called us to Himself. And Jesus has shown us the close relationship He has with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And here, these two chapters later, and Luke 6:17, and He came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of His disciples and a great multitude of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear Him and be healed of all their diseases. This is the church. Come on. This is the church. All the people of different cultures coming together to unite with Him. I don't know if you saw that first up. Sidon is not a Jewish community. The other areas that I mentioned, they're not Jewish communities. And He came down with them. Jesus had been up on a mountain and He came down with them. In the Old Testament, Moses had been up a mountain, Mount Sinai. God says to Moses, this is incredible, I have called you, Moses, to Myself. He says a bit later, I've called you to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And then in Exodus 24, God asks Moses to erect the 12 pillars, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And here we are in the New Testament, and there are the 12 disciples representing the church, the community of God. Is anyone glad that God has a plan for His church? And here we are. Will the people, Moses comes down and he gives the law to the people. And quite remarkably, at this time. They've been free from their oppressors. They've crossed over the Red Sea from darkness to light. They're in a new season of their life. And God says, tell Moses this. Will they follow me? And the people said this. We will do all the Lord has commanded. And so we have this parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Bible says in these verses in Luke chapter 6, all who came near to him were healed of their diseases. All who were tormented by evil spirits were set free. And the whole, this is what the Bible says, the whole community sought to touch him. I don't know about you, but aren't you glad when you come into the presence of God and you feel the presence of God on your life? There is something about a whole community. Yeah, come up, music team. There is a whole community that can be transformed by the power of God. And we have what is the crucial factor is when, because we keep following God, we keep being faithful, then we are an actual power unit for the expansion of the kingdom of God. The whole church is blessed when we touch Jesus. And there's another comparison that Jesus has been up the mountain with his Father. And Moses has been up the mountain with God. And I know this. I've seen it in so many relationships. And I'm so blessed by this. God says this, and Jesus was saying this too about the church. When your relationship with me unravels, all other relationships unravel. When your relationship with me is restored, that restores all other human relationships. There is a powerful thing that happens when we commit to being a part of the kingdom of God and follow Jesus, and it actually affects all our other relationships. God's in the business of reconciliation. God's in the business of taking what wasn't and bringing unity. Incredible. God's in unity, we're in unity. God is showing the world that for all the relational dysfunction out there, when you come to me, when you come into the church community, what was unraveled, what was messy, I will clean up in your life. Father God, I'm so grateful that there's no place like home. Is anyone grateful that there's no place like home today? There is no place like home. And when you relate to me, you are brought into a new community. And that community is the one that makes true and lasting friendships possible. Even normal. Because Jesus is at the head of his community and a place that we can call home. It doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what kind of a family environment you came from, because when you come into this house, it's a place you can really call the home, the place of God. Can we stand to our feet, church? Can we commit our story and our future into the hands of Jesus today? Can we do what is right and follow faithfully the pattern that Jesus has given us to expand the kingdom of God, to develop ministries, to develop and create opportunities for more and more buildings that people can know that there is a place that they can call home. And I thank you, Lord, for all you are doing. And I thank you, Father, that we are at our best when we are united together. And so I thank you, Lord, for our story, our future. And I pray today that we see the kingdom of God advance and our facilities bring the best kind of atmosphere for us to connect and relate in for your glory. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.